Hello, Mr. Kellogg. How are you?
Hey, Jeff, Steven, I'm doing well. How are you guys this morning?
We're doing well. We're getting ready for some basketball. We're watching baseball, getting ready for some basketball. Clark, I got to ask you, is this someone described this as a possible coronation? Do you view it that way? Is it Kentucky or bust?
No, I don't think it's Kentucky or bust, but clearly Kentucky's the landslide favorite, and I've got them making history. I mean, they've made history on some fronts already, but to go 40-0 and be crowned as champions would be another level of history made, and I think it's going to happen. This team is extremely talented, well-coached, deep, as imposing and as intimidating defensively as I've seen in college basketball in the last 20 years probably. And I think they're primed from a disposition and demeanor standpoint to handle the pressure that is going to increase as they get closer to a championship.
Clark, some people as a kind of a cautionary tale have pointed to that great UNLV team that rolled everybody that season, was uh-huh. hardly challenged, you know, and got to the final and ran up against Duke and lost the national championship. Who in this field could play the Duke role if against Kentucky?
I think there are a couple Duke. Of teams. I mean, you look at Duke would be one of them. Certainly Wisconsin would be another. Villanova, those are all your other number one seeds. I think Arizona is very capable. Gonzaga is an interesting team. Clearly the odds are against. I mean, we haven't had an undefeated national champion since 1976, the Indiana team, so the odds are against going unbeaten and winning the national championship. So that in and of itself lets you know that it's not a foregone conclusion, and it's more likely not to happen than happen. That said, I think Kentucky is primed to do it. I feel like they will, but would not be surprised if me and a bunch of other folks ended up being wrong on that.
In conversation with Clark Kellogg of CBS Sports. Clark, when I look at this Kentucky team, I keep thinking about how good this program could be if this group was going to be here for their full run. You know, like the old days where guys actually used to sometimes play their entire college career. They could be they could have been a generational team, couldn't they? They really could have.
Oh, no question. I mean, no question. I mean, you think about the 2012 national championship team.
Mm-hmm.
The following year, I think they missed the tournament, and then they get to the championship game last year. And even prior to that, you know, since Calipari has been there, they've been knocking on the Elite Eight door. A number of the players that were part of those teams left after a year or two. So if you just extrapolate being juniors for a number of those players and what that might have meant to experience and seasoning, cohesion, all the things that you look for in championship teams, the talent is a given because of where those guys have fared in the NBA draft and in their NBA careers. Clearly it would have been a very unique generational program, without question.
It looks like that West region could be a real grinder. A lot of people like Wisconsin to go to the Final Four. I'm looking at Wisconsin, yeah. Arizona, North Carolina. There's some tough teams in that region, aren't there?
No, I think it's probably there's the most headwind in that particular region. I mean, North Carolina is a team that could match up with Kentucky if they were to somehow get out of that bracket. I mean, with their size and length, seems like Marcus Paige, their outstanding point guard, he's dealt with some foot and ankle injuries that have, you know, minimized his practice time, so he's not been nearly at 100%. Seems like he's feeling better, playing better, certainly, and that team has length and size and certainly pedigree on its side and history. So that would be, I mean, but you look at it, Baylor is one of my teams that going into the tournament, you know, you start looking at teams that you think might surprise and make a run regardless of seed line prior to the tournament. And then obviously when the brackets come out, some of that goes by the wayside. But they're a team that plays a very difficult zone defense, has multiple three-point shooters. So they're a team that could maybe surprise in that region as well.
Speaking of things changing when the bracket comes out, Clark, you know, Notre Dame's an interesting team. They, you know, peaked. Yeah. Yeah, looked great late, won the ACC, beat North Carolina, beat Duke, and then you watch the brackets roll out and understand that they're going to run up against Kentucky at some point if they keep going, and assuming Kentucky keeps going. If they'd been in any other region, would they have had a shot, like Final Four shot?
Yeah, you know, I think because of how they play, they've got experienced players. They've got one of the best players in the country in Jaren Grant. I still think that if they do advance, that they would have a chance perhaps to give Kentucky some problems. I like Wichita State out of that particular segment of the bracket. A team that was unbeaten going into the tournament last year with some of the same players from last season to this season, primarily the whole backcourt, and Van Vliet and Ron Baker and Tekel Cotton. Tough-minded, good defensively. And I'm hoping that perhaps Kansas and Wichita State will meet in a game that would be a lot of fun to watch, because Wichita State would love to play Kansas on a regular basis during the regular season, but I don't think the Jayhawks are much interested. So it would be kind of cool if it was forced upon them here in the tournament.
In conversation with Clark Kellogg of CBS Sports and the Jeff Blair Show, brought to you by Scott's Turf Builder. Clark, when you sit down and look at a bracket and you start looking at a lower-seeded team, and the team, I'm going to say lower-seeded 11th, 11th to 16th, and you start trying to figure out where an upset might occur, what do you look for that suggests to you a team is capable of upsetting a fairly high seed? You know, there used to be this old thing, right?
Is,
road wins and free throws, I used to hear all the time.
What was that, Jeff?
Oh, I said you used to hear that it was always road wins and free throws were two things, and free throw percentage were two things you could look at that sometimes would suggest a team was capable of a big upset. How do you look at a matchup? Let's say a 12-5, and figure out which 12 has a shot at beating the 5.
Well, the things you mentioned are part of it. I mean, they aren't the highest items on my criteria list. First is seasoning, experienced players that have been together. Shot making, primarily the three-point shot is a tremendous equalizer. And if you got really good perimeter players, or even bigs nowadays that can make threes, I think that's a tremendous, tremendous part of the recipe for double-digit seeds being able to advance. And then who did they play during the regular season? Have they tasted higher-level competition in terms of some of the teams that are in the tournament field? How have they fared? Those are the main ingredients I look for. And then the comfort of the matchup. In this case, Buffalo and West Virginia. West Virginia comes in with its best player having not played the last four or five games, Juwan Staten. He says he's going to play. I don't know how effective he can be, but Buffalo has good perimeter guys, a really good guard in Shannon Evans. Xavier Ford is a really good all-around player, so that's a matchup. And 5-12s typically, historically, have produced some of those double-digit winners. But those are the things that I kind of highlight. Can you make threes? Do you have multiple ball handlers, shot makers, playmakers? And are you seasoned? And have you played a decent schedule for your level? Have you seen some of the teams that are in the field of 68? And if you've competed with those teams, then you've got a chance to play beyond just one game.